Welcome to Faith Over Breakfast. You are listening to a podcast by Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. If you enjoy Faith Over Breakfast, we encourage you to rate it on the Apple Podcast app, on Spotify, or Google Play. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Hello, my name is Eric Siepen. I'm pastor at the Village Church in Tucson, Arizona. And not across from me is Andy Littleton, who is not here at the podcast studio. Neither of us are really in the podcast studio. We were both very busy the last 2 weeks and didn't have time to do it. But I thought I would repost one of our more popular podcasts called Jordan Peterson. In this episode, we discuss mostly Jordan with some elements of ignorance about even who he is. We also talk about a little bit about Mark Driscoll. We talk about Kanye West. We talk about my vacation, going to different churches. There's a lot of interesting things in this podcast. And so I think it's worth a re-listen. And so I offer you that without further ado.
We went to Oasis in the morning.
Man, you're really a...
Had to make up for not going to church on vacation, which is really not something I normally do. So
you got to make up.
Okay. Got to get my Jesus.
Well, we are live.
We're live. That's good.
Yeah. And I always forget we're going to introduce this afterwards. So
we don't need to introduce
anything. Eric, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. This is the last week of my vacation.
Okay. Why are you here?
Because this is one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, so this doesn't feel like work?
No, not at all.
What? Cool.
I get to call it work when I'm working.
Yeah, yeah.
And I call it vacation when I'm on vacation.
Man, that's the best kind of work.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, cool. What have you been doing on vacation this week?
Have I been doing?
Because everybody cares about that.
Well, I'll tell you. So yesterday evening, Sue and I went over to some friend's house.
Okay.
To go to the Village.
It's getting pretty wild.
And we played this game that I wanted to play for a long time called Zombicide.
Zombicide?
Yeah, Zombicide.
Oh, Zombicide.
Zombicide, yes. Okay. Zombicide. And it's just you and your friends with, you know, swords and, you know, bows and arrows fighting an onslaught of zombies and trying to escape a city. And it's just 2.5 hours of bliss for me.
If you've wanted to know the difference between the Village and Mission Church, this conversation right here is illustrating some of that to you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
There are no gamers in your church?
No, there are some. Yeah. There are some.
I bet you there's a lot more.
There definitely are some. Yeah, actually, there's quite a few. But it's not the pastor.
Yeah. It's definitely the millennial thing to do and the Gen X thing to do.
Is to be a gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This Nick and I probably not playing Zombicide any time recently.
No.
But people in our church have.
Yeah, I bet.
And they wish they had a pastor like you.
Yeah, well.
Who would come in and play. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that was so, and my wife loves it too. So
did you win?
We did. All of us made it out.
You all
except
made it out. Everybody
one of,
won.
One of Sue's characters died in the process because she decided to open a door that we told her not to, and boy, they just came flooding out. We couldn't get her out in time.
Oh no!
It was fun. It was a good time, and it's just, you know, you don't think about anything else. And
that is nice.
Yeah. So that was one of the things that I did. I had a very big game night or game day at my house. Last week I can barely remember, so that's good for vacation wise.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I remember before I knew you very well, one time I saw you at Cafe Luce.
Yes.
Playing games with somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. That's cool. I never thought of doing that as a pastor. I wasn't a pastor yet at the time, but I was like, I hadn't thought of doing that as a pastor with somebody, but cool.
Yeah. I mean, I go a lot of times to the Brugger's on Wilmot and Broadway.
Okay.
And mostly I bring junior hires there.
Yeah.
So there's like a 4 or 5 junior hires that I bring there, and I always bring a game. And so we kind of have this process as we go, we get our bagel, we sit down, we play a half hour game, And then that gives me the opportunity to ask them some harder questions about life and get them talking. And so that's kind of my, I get to play a game and they don't have to feel the pressure of, you know, some 40-year-old guy trying to poke around in their life. So
when I used to work with middle schoolers, at first when I got the job, I thought I would take them out to lunch and stuff and out to coffee.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. At least it didn't for me, like to sit down and just go, hey, you know, here we are over lunch.
Yeah.
What's going on? And so I quickly learned there had to be some other goal, and then you'd have a great conversation if you were doing something together.
Yes.
And so for me, my favorite was taking them to build their own bike at Bikus. And then we would take it back and work on it. And Bikus is a kind of a community bike shop
where
things are donated and they have helpers, and you pay a little bit to rent the tools, but they teach you how to work on your own bike. So I'd take a kid, we'd find an old frame, we'd strip it down one day, go home, you know, come back 2 weeks later, work on it a little, you know, so I'd get multiple meetings with the kid.
Oh man. I know some kids in my church who'd love that. I'm not.
That's really, not you.
That's not me. So but maybe we should make a trade.
We should make a trade. Exactly. And that wasn't for every kid, but I had a blast, and the kids who liked it, I mean, they still talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Hey, like, you know, last week you made a comment about my buzzy phone, which didn't come up on the thing, but I'm just going to make a comment that it's kind of warm in here. Do you think we could turn the air conditioning on?
Yeah. Who was here first?
I don't know how to turn the air conditioning on.
Okay. There's this thing called a thermostat.
Oh, it's right there. It's right there. You want me to go do that right now?
I mean, one of us has to keep talking. I'm still talking. So I guess you are. Okay. So, hey, everybody, this is how you turn on the air conditioning during a podcast. How very exciting. I'm going to take this opportunity to steer the conversation the way I wanted to steer it. I don't know, man.
Okay, never mind. I won't do it. The system is off.
System is off. You got to turn the system on. You got to turn the system on, Eric.
I turned the fan on.
Folks,
there we go.
Just because somebody's a spiritual expert doesn't mean they're a, you know, HVAC expert. So we're back. Here's Eric.
I am back.
The AC is on.
I just want to say that my wife, who listens to the podcast maybe one every month, so I don't know if she's an expert, but she says her favorite part of this show is this.
Is this? Oh.
The banter part. She's like, I don't know about the other part, but the banter is hilarious. So I just think, you know.
Good. Well, we've given it to him so far this episode. We have not touched on anything
let's dive right in, because you want to talk about Jordan Peterson. That's going to get us a lot of clicks, just like the Rob Bell one.
That's
did.
The goal. So. That's the goal. Let's get the clicks. Get those clicks.
Right.
Get those Peterson clicks.
Yeah, it's people listening to us talk about Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
So, why did you want to talk to Jordan
Peterson?
I think I brought Jordan Peterson up almost a year and a half ago.
You did. Yeah.
And you didn't want to talk about him.
Well, true.
So now you want to talk about him. So,
So here's the thing. So it's come up at our church several times. And I was like, and I would have to admit that I really hadn't read or listened to anything. So I finally dove into a very, very long interview between him and Dr. Oz. And the reason I picked that one was it seemed like it was maybe getting the whole picture of his.
Sure.
Kind of his experiences and how he's come to his conclusions and why he cares about some of this stuff. So I thought I could get into all the specifics, but I kind of wanted the big picture. So that's all the Jordan Peterson I know is that interview. And so here's where we're coming from. I want to talk about Jordan Peterson, knowing very little about the body of his work as a whole.
Right.
And so this will be the least informed podcast about Jordan Peterson ever, unless you have, you know, a wealth of information about him that I don't have.
Probably more than you.
I'm sure you do.
A year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when I suggested it, I had picked up his 12 Rules for Life. Whenever that came out.
Did you read it?
I have read 3 or 4 of the chapters. I've skimmed the rest of them.
Okay.
I found reading it, I didn't like his writing style. Okay. And it's well written. It's just I had a hard time. But I have listened to his lectures extensively.
Extensively.
Yeah, I've listened to the ones on, you know, the Old Testament. I've listened to almost every single one of his interviews that it's on YouTube.
Yep.
So I kind of have a little bit of understanding of where he's coming from.
Awesome. So I had seen this is where – so, obviously you'd brought him up. I'd heard the name. It seemed like people were saying that he was – it seemed like people in the Christian community or on the fringes of the Christian community got quite excited because he was talking about the Bible. And I've noticed anytime some – you know, in the Christian community, somebody famous seems like they might be a Christian.
Yeah, we got a lot of
people get jacked up, like excited about it, right?
Yes.
And that's what I was sensing. Like, okay. And then – so I had some questions, you know, just from what I heard. And it was like, so, you know, is this – you know, are we talking about somebody who's seen the morality structure in the Bible as helpful? Or – and is that – do you view that as Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's –
What are people?
Yeah. And so I was kind of saying, you know, from what I've heard, I don't know that he's saying he's a Christian per se.
No.
And Mike at our church reported that on his last vacation, he listened to his God talks. He was interested in the same thing. So we've had that conversation. Now I've been listening to this Dr. Oz stuff or the interview with Dr. Oz and I'm catching him. A lot of here's why the myths that we've passed down, right, and talking especially about biblical ones, and he seems to agree with the general structure, including original sin and all kinds of stuff that he seems to think are helpful to believe.
Yes.
But I don't know that that's where I'm at with what I've read so far as I'm going. I don't think he's trying to say that he's a Christian.
Right. So,
and that's not even the biggest question.
Right.
But I'm interested in how the Christian community engages with people who are so close.
Well,
whatever.
So I give you a real clear example of how they engage with Jordan Peterson in particular.
Yeah.
So there is a guy in the Christian Reformed Church who's a good friend of Rod's.
Yeah.
And he had a YouTube thing where
heard
he
about it. Yeah,
he had 100 followers.
Vanderclay?
Yes, Paul Vanderclay. And he started doing a split screen, basically, with Jordan Peterson's ideas and then him kind of giving a commentary on those ideas.
Now he's big time.
He's big time because of that. And he's been able to interview Jordan, I think, a couple times, and even recently flew to Australia to do a conference about how to engage Jordan Peterson.
Wow. So engaging Jordan Peterson gets you a lot of followers, which is why you're making fun of me for wanting to talk about it
today. Yeah. So because we get a lot of followers now.
Because this conversation is clearly destroying everything Paul Vanderclay has ever done.
Right, yeah. Well, here's the thing about just to go. Jordan Peterson is a Christian, and in the way that a Jungian psychologist who believes in archetypes is a Christian, and archetypal structures. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment.
A couple people know what you're talking about.
Yes, I'm going to pause here because I know you're going to force me to find things. So I'm going to say we're going to talk about Jungian psychology. We're going to talk about archetypes. We're going to talk about Marxism. We're going to talk about postmodernism. I'm not defining any of those for you. If you want to go look up those.
Can you at least tell people how to spell Jungian?
Yeah, it's J-U-N-G-I-A-N.
Yeah. And
I'm not spelling.
Carl.
Yes.
Carl Jung. There's a lot of his books at Bookman's.
If you really want to, I didn't study that particular in college. I was more Adlerian than psychology.
Obviously.
I mean, most people don't know what I'm talking about, but, so I didn't like Jung. I don't like, you know, Freud, those are in a certain camp. I mean, Jung is better than Freud, but.
Quick answer. Why don't you like him?
Well, to be honest, in college, I felt like as I read their stuff and I was being introduced to it, it hurt my brain too much, and Adlerian psychology made sense. So that was the extent of it. And so I kind of went in personality, you know, theory, I just moved on.
Okay.
That kind of thing. So.
Got it.
Yeah, but so anyway, he believes in these things in a very abstract way. And he yes. And sure. if you were to and he believes in the Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
He believes that what is presented within the text is a truth that that is key and found in a foundation to society working and
but it doesn't need to mean that Jesus rose from the dead or anything.
Yeah,
well, or for example.
Yeah, and he would I think he might talk around that or address it in a different way.
Yeah, he might go, well, you know, whether that the occurrence of it is of less importance than
he would may put it as a lesser important thing.
Yeah.
So I think the answer to the question that you sent me after I sent you, hey, I want to cover the top five podcasts of Faith Over Breakfast because I think they're subjects that people are really interested in talking about and hearing us expand on.
You want to talk about Rob Bell, worship, leadership?
No leadership. No leadership up there. I'm leaving the church, reading the Bible. Anyway, I thought just kind of expanding those and wrestling with those. But we're going to head into Jordan Peterson instead. So the question is, why do people listen to Jordan Peterson? So you've heard this interview. What's your initial impression? Why is he appealing? As you listen to him,
I think he must be appealing. And this is the example he was giving, a lot of examples of what keeps motivating him forward, and they were examples of young people realizing they didn't have to give up, that they could take responsibility and change their lives. And I do think that presses hard against the narrative that's been going on that kind of the idea that because of injustices and social structures and how unfair it all is, that people are – it's just poor you out there because of all the terrible things that have happened. And that sounds really great until you realize you have no motivation if you look around and go, oh, everything's against me. So Jordan Peterson won't have any of that, and he tells you life's not fair. That's just a fact. Deal with it. Get up, put your pants on and go to work. And you can do it, by the way. It's within you. You have the power to change what you need to change. And some people are trying that instead of wallowing in self-pity, and it's helping. And or they at least like hearing that they have enough dignity to make a move. Is that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm gathering is the drive. That's what motivates him. That seems to be motivating people to listen to him.
Yeah, no, I think on the surface level, I would call Jordan Peterson a completed, well-rounded, thoughtful, kind Mark Driscoll.
Oh, well, I would not have done that.
He's had the same impact.
I mean, and Driscoll, Mark Driscoll, pastor, ex-pastor of Mars Hill Church,
yes,
who would get, he would say, just. There were maybe a little more gospel principles, but by and large, stop screwing around and get to business, get stuff done, stop being an idiot.
But the other thing about Driscoll, and it's also about Jordan Peterson, Driscoll was a philosophy major.
Yeah.
And
sure.
And really smart.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peterson also. And so it's not simple self-help kinds of stuff we're talking about.
It's very direct. There are very direct things to do,
mm-hmm.
but then you realize that they have good reasons for telling you to do those things,
right.
Well, which makes you feel more comfortable.
Yes. Well, and he makes it important. He tries to establish, and when you need another word, you're not going to force me to define, but he wants to establish axioms.
Starting points in philosophy.
Very good. to base all this stuff on. So he's not saying, here are the seven ways to make your life.
Yeah.
The way it should be. He's like, here are these solid, meaningful axioms that we're going to begin with that give us reason to do these things and bring us to the place we need to be in these things. And he also acknowledges things he acknowledges suffering, that life is suffering.
Yeah, he doesn't dance around it at all. He kind of goes very direct at it.
Right.
Which rings true for everybody.
So let me answer a question that I think has bugged me for a long time. I think I've come to an answer. Why is it, and this is going to irritate people, but why is it that people are drawn to Jordan Peterson in a way that they are not drawn to the church itself?
Now, do you, really quick, that is a great question. Do you, I think, as I'm listening, I'm thinking a lot of the people I'm talking to that like Jordan Peterson in the church did like Driscoll.
Yes.
There is a probably, I wouldn't have thought of that before.
There's a link.
But it's like if you disavowed Driscoll, you're now into Peterson. Why?
Right. Well, there's a couple things I think Driscoll touched on this and started a movement, but then screwed up because of his arrogance, where you see with Jordan, there's a lot less arrogance built into his system.
He's very sure, but he doesn't come across personally arrogant.
Well, and he's willing to dialogue with the other side and doesn't insult them. He deals Canadian. With what they say, and he's Canadian. But here's the thing. I think that the church's message has been so much about Jesus in the wrong way that Jordan's message is about Jesus without never talking about him.
Okay. And so the ethical demands of Jesus, maybe? Or what are you saying?
So here's how usually the message of the church and Jesus is that we spend all this time talking about how the death and resurrection of Jesus solves your problems. Mm. And that if you pick up Jesus, life will be better. And that you will have a set of solutions to your life. Jordan says, no, your suffering is real.
It may not go away.
It's not going to go away.
Right.
Happiness is not something you pursue. It's something that you celebrate when it's there.
It comes from time to time and enjoy it because it won't always be around.
Right.
Yep.
He doesn't spend all, and even in the groups that you and I run in, like the Tim Keller groups and the reform groups, there I think is an over celebration, if you want to get me, an over celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus in a way that does not connect to people on the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
And that doesn't mean that I am not all about the death and resurrection of Jesus.
You just heard it here. Eric Siepen is dove into.
But there's something wrong with our message.
No. I think you are onto something.
The way we live it out. And I think Jordan touches on a longing deep in people's heart for meaning, for an intellectual, like, I think we're still demonizing the other side and not explain, you know, so, look, Jordan is trying to deal with postmodernism.
Right.
And he sees it connected to Marxism. Yeah. And I mean, he's very much in the educational world. But postmodernism and the way it has deconstructed our understanding of our own identities.
Right.
And who we are as people. And you can see this out in the public conversation about, you know, from gender to, I mean, it's all there as to what makes you a person.
Right.
We don't know what to do with that. The church is not doing a good job. In fact, we kind of insult people and say, well, it doesn't matter what identity you have an identity in Christ, and that's the primary one. And that doesn't solve the problem for people. It actually pushes them away. And so,
how so?
It's offensive.
Yeah. Tell me, explain.
And not in a good offensive way. It's offensive in that you just said your struggle is not that important.
Hmm.
Because your identity in Jesus is what's important.
Hmm.
And you're like, what? Well, how am I supposed to understand that outside of who I am? Doesn't make any sense.
Hmm.
And so maybe if you're further into the kingdom of God, you might be able to grasp and embrace that in a deeper way, but you can't.
But you're saying we're trying to put that out there on the front end. Here's a solution.
Right. Where I think Jordan wrestles with it and talks about it being a reality and yet not, and he begins to, and one, he's a very charismatic person. I don't know if you've ever watched him on YouTube, and I know people in our church who've gone to see him. He commands a room, and yet he's sort of the absentee professor. You don't know where he's going.
Yeah.
He doesn't really completely know where he's going.
Seems like he sort of rambles, but then he does have, there is direction.
Oh, he has a wealth of knowledge and command of things that are, so he doesn't, I mean, he's, so I don't, anyway, I think he gives people hope in a way that we sometimes, maybe we haven't done the hard work. Hmm. He asks people to do the hard work.
Yeah, he does.
right. Not only in their own life, but understanding the philosophies that are driving them.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like in his 12 Rules to Life, like he does one on parenting. And his, you know, basically says, don't let your kids do anything that makes you not like them. And his point is that anytime you are feeling aggravated by your children, everyone else is feeling aggravated by your children. And you need to put a stop to that. And particularly
instead
when
of what the prevailing idea is, like, let your children be themselves no matter what that feels like to you.
Right. Yeah. It's either I want to be friends with them and I'm afraid of losing that, or I'm just absent. I mean, he's very big into being present and offering discipline, consequence, and reward.
Yeah.
Through presence.
Yeah.
It's just straightforward. I mean, it's great. He cuts through all the anxieties of people.
Yeah.
I think as Christians, we're really afraid to give answers and then say there's deep reasons for these answers.
So like we want to give the deep reason, but not a specific answer. Like, here's a specific answer to a question. How do you keep buzzing from happening on the podcast? You take the phone off the hard surfaces, Eric. Take responsibility.
I'm trying.
Nobody will hear that, but now I just made it a big deal.
Well, it's always going to be part of our podcast.
This is our new thing. It used to be that Brian was flying over. We've abandoned that. Now it's going to be having the talk about phones. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, what was your question? You just distracted me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We were being present and, you know, telling your kids to stop doing things that annoy you. And
yeah. And particularly when they're 0 to 4, he said.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I personally, when I hear that kind of stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm it makes sense to me.
Right. And he gives a great example. I love the you know, in an interview I listened to, he talks, and I think it's in the book too. He talks about, you know, his kid when he was like 9 months crawling around. And as soon as he would head towards something he wasn't supposed to, Jordan would grab his foot and hold it and say, no, no. And then the kid would start crying. And he would still say, no. And he'd let go and the kid wouldn't go there. And he would do this for 3 days. And then he would just be able to say no. And the kid would cry.
And he wouldn't go.
And then later on, a few days later, he could just say no. He didn't have to like be so hyper-focused.
Yeah. When you do that, I mean, sure, that practically, like, I agree with that stuff. I mean, I'm a big proponent of discipline early.
Yes.
And, you know, I similar stuff. Like, I really didn't like when I hate when I go out to a restaurant and a kid is chucking food everywhere and it's all over the place. Like, and when I worked in a restaurant, it was very frustrating to have to clean up that mess. And so I never let Abby throw food. I made her sit in her chair. It was never okay to smear food on her face. That was not an option. And oh my goodness, like the joys of parenting a kid that didn't throw their food, you know, from a very young age. Wonderful.
Yes.
And a blessing to everybody else. And it was easy to teach to a young kid. And I, you know, I've always been kind of baffled that people are like, oh, he's just expressing himself. It's like, no, they don't have to do that. They don't have to chuck the food all over to express that. Like, you're not a bad person because they're going to throw stuff around someday that you don't want them to throw around. And then you're going to have to address it. So you can address it now when it's a lot easier and they're not going to be bothered. Or you can bring in a new rule when they're 10 that's going to completely throw them off. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
Why can't I throw a rock at that window? You know, I'm expressing myself.
Right. And now expressing yourself has consequences.
Yeah. And why didn't, like, and that's a new concept. And when, if you build it in early. Anyway, so sure. I hear Jordan Peterson on that and a lot of other things. And I go, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And he's saying a lot of those kinds of things. So I think he's giving, and I think why he's a big deal to millennials is that their parents weren't that structured.
Right. So they're grasping for somebody to tell me actually what to do and who am I.
Right.
Because nobody's ever told me, because they'd let me be myself, which is now confusing as heck.
Yeah. And I would say that's the same for Xers, because boomers weren't present.
Right.
And so we're always looking for somebody to give us some grounding, which is why I think, you know, Mark Driscoll in the early 90s was popular, even in a secular culture for a while, because he was giving structure and foundation to people's lives and saying this is right and this is wrong and here's why. And showing evidences of success when you follow what is good in his mind. Or
and people want this. I've been laughing at like for a while, just in the back of my mind, every time I hear people talk about, I don't want to like organized religion or structures. And it's like, okay, so you went and, you know, joined the Democratic Party. What is that? Like, that's a structure. It's a, you know,
yes.
Like, we're always looking for somebody to define for us what are the rules, what's the way forward, how do I do this? And you leave one group in the name of freedom and you go join another group.
Right.
So it to me, it's like, no, it's not the rules and the structure we don't like. We demand it. We must have it. We need it. And I think when we can see that, then it's like, I don't know. Then we have to say, okay, but what is it that I'm really rebelling against? You know, it's something else.
Right.
And Jordan Peterson is, yeah, he's calling you to task and giving you structure and all that. So, so for whatever reason around our church, the question has been, is he a Christian?
Because that's what we're all looking for.
Why are we looking for that? Why are we, you know, why are we so, like every time you see, you know, I don't know if it's in basketball, it's like people are, Steph Curry's a Christian, you know? How good of a Christian is he? Does he cuss or not? I don't know. Like, why do we get so excited that somebody with good ideas might be a Christian?
Yeah, well, I think there are two things that happen. So one is if you're a conservative, just in general, philosophically,
right.
What you want to do is build boundaries and protect things, right? So you're asking, and a lot of Christians are conservatives. And so
even ones who think they're not.
Yes, they're asking, is he safe to bring inside our boundaries?
Yeah.
Where when you're not, when you're, let's say, liberal, let's just talk about in your philosophy, what you're saying is the risk of going out and exploring new things and learning new things and experience, you know, touching things that may be risky is worth the possible, decontamination or suffering it might bring for the benefit that we're going to get out of it.
Right.
And so those two ideologies go, you know, are always fighting each other. Christians tend to be in the more conservative end. And then, you know, yeah, so there's where we're saying, is it safe to bring it in?
Right.
Well, some of us are saying, others are saying within that are like, well, are a little bit more liberal, like let's go out and experience it. It's okay if he's not a full-on Christian. We want to get the stuff that he's got that's good and see if, you know, wrestle with that. And they do that with, you know, we do that with Rob Bell. We do.
Right.
This is how we're still conservatives. Even if we have some liberal views, Christianity holds a more conservative philosophy. Barriers, is it safe to bring the thing in to our little fortress? And we have this battle going back and forth. Oh, no, our fortress needs to be more permeable so we can engage the world. And how permeable should it be? And, yeah.
So would you, if somebody came up to you at your church and said, hey, let's have a Rob, like not a Rob Bell. Actually, it could work with Rob Bell. Let's have a Rob Bell or a Jordan Peterson discussion group.
Right. Well, we don't do discussion groups. So, yeah. Wrong thing. Yeah. But I would say, yes, go do it. But we're not going to, it's not something we're, as a church, can say we support Rob Bell's ideas. Just go do it. And,
Just go have the conversation,
explore it. Can we do it at church? Yes. You can do it at the building if you want. That's fine.
Same.
We're not teaching his principles. We're just discussing his things. That's not a problem.
I would say the same. That turned out to be a terrible question. What a silly me. So in this quest for people to decide if he's here, I would personally say I think he would say, I agree with the moral structure of Christianity, but not some of the supernatural claims or something. That would be one of my,
I think he might even agree with the supernatural claims, just in a more abstract
way.
Abstract way.
He won't be pinned on it. From what I've gathered, you can't quite pin him down, which is probably very beneficial for him career-wise, because if he might be, it keeps more audience engaged the less.
I think the thing that's appealing to him is that what he says is that he's learning himself.
Sure.
And he's changed.
He doesn't feel the need to.
He's changed as he can. Yeah. He's inviting people on his own journey.
Which is cool, and he's not, it's kind of what I think I brought up the David Brooks book recently, where, you know, similarly, somebody's going like, they've changed. I don't know that I would go all the way as to say I'm a Christian, but I'm engaging with that a lot these days, considering right. it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, here's the thing. Can we go back to your question? Because I was thinking about sure. what the group, because I think it's actually a good question.
Oh, thank goodness.
I think if someone comes and says, hey, I'd like to integrate Jordan Peterson into the teachings of the Village and right. start a group, I would say, no, like we have things that are set. But if you want to take these ideas and use it as a way of inviting the world into a conversation right. about truth, then let's do it, because he's having that conversation.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think it'd be a very helpful, because a wider audience is listening to Jordan Peterson, hey, talk about it. That's a great thing to do. But I wouldn't, I think where, and I don't know why, I've seen this. This is what happened. This is what I observed with Kanye West in Chicago, oddly enough, when I was there, when he came out with the album that Jesus Walks on it, and all the churches were like, he's talking about Jesus, and they were having Kanye come to church. And that felt, I was like, what? You know, really? And I thought, that's now, again, like if somebody's out listening to that song, you go, what do you think that means? What do you think it means that Jesus walks with you? You know, have you experienced Jesus walking? Great, great conversation starter. But I wouldn't bring Kanye West in personally to lead my young people in how to know and follow and experience Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan Peterson is not Kanye, you know, obviously. But I think I feel a similar way. Like, I don't think Jordan Peterson is trying to say I'm a
no.
Christian leader. So, so I would be looking to him as, I think he's bringing up very interesting. I think he's engaging with, and there were even some interpretations of scripture that he had that I thought, I'd like to look into that. That's an interesting, I'm sure he's put some time in. I think he's looking at it with fresh eyes, which is always helpful.
Yeah.
Like the meek shall inherit the earth thing, he was saying, like, you know, getting to the bottom of the idea of meek was somebody that had a sword strapped to their side but didn't choose to use it, versus meekness of being like just weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I hadn't really thought about that. I'm interested to see if he's onto something there, and that does change the meaning of it.
I agree with you. I think that's what I would go back to. Why do Christians?
But we want him to be a Christian so bad.
We do want him to be a Christian so bad. But here's the thing about Jordan.
And Kanye.
He's addressing things in a way that I do not experience. Let's talk about our circle.
Yeah.
I do not experience the one that we lift up the most, Tim Keller, dealing with it. I don't see, you know, now I forgot his name.
Joel Osteen?
No, certainly not Joel Osteen, but the other reform guy. Am I blanking names right now?
I have no idea.
You know who he is.
Probably. There's just a lot of them.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll remember
his John name. Calvin?
No. He's Bethany, is his church. Bethany. Isn't it Bethel? Bethel.
That's reformed?
Yeah, it's Baptist, though, but it's... He writes lots and lots of books about holiness.
Holiness?
Come on.
J.C. Ryle?
No, come on. You know who I'm
talking. Jerry Bridges?
Stop. he does.
Sonic Flood?
This is what happens when you have memory loss, man. You make fun of me. John something.
Piper?
Thank you.
John Piper.
John Piper.
Bethlehem Baptist, Bethlehem. John Piper,
thank you.
Desiring God.
Yes, whatever. You got it.
Christian hedonism. All those would have tipped me off.
Yeah, I'm bad at that.
Okay, it's okay. All right.
But hey, now we just gave people a whole reading list. They could go from Joel Osteen to Bridges. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And listen to Sonic Flood. But
they're not addressing them in the same way, and in a way that I think gets at the philosophies. Like, he interacts with the philosophies. He explains the philosophies. He wrestles with them in front of you, whereas I feel like the other people are trying to be so apologists instead of honestly just engaging. And I think Jordan Peterson does an honest engagement with things he doesn't agree with.
I think Keller does that a little more, which is why he works in New York City.
Yes.
I think very few pastors know engage with or even understand.
Right.
And I am not saying this as a critic from the outside. I'm saying this from the inside of, unfortunately, I don't know that I put in the work to know that well the philosophy of our day. I want to.
Right.
I care.
Right.
But it's just hard to come by the time.
Well, even the thing that was fascinating to me was to say N.T. Wright, who is an Anglican theologian. But he's also one of the world-renowned first-century historians.
Yeah.
So he interacts with the secular world on their terms.
Yeah.
And so his audience is broader.
Yeah.
Because it has this element of, I have another word, but honesty to it.
Well, he has a credential that is respectable in people's eyes.
And I think that's what Peterson has too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, again, we'll go for names, but the philosopher from Notre Dame, he's not at Notre Dame anymore, but...
There's the historian Knoll. Wasn't he at Mark Knoll? Was he at Notre Dame?
Well, there's the famous philosopher who created the structure for belief in God through experiences, knowing. I forget his name, but anyway. He's also a philosopher who could dialogue on a level that was not... purely from an apologetic way. I'm like trying to prove that Christ is a legitimate philosophy, but more let's engage with the philosophical ideas that are in the in the public square without constantly shoving Jesus into it.
Sure. And I think there's a time for that. I feel like preaching in the church.
Yes.
You know, isn't always the time. But if you're going to engage in the public square, I think Christians by and large, or churches, think that what should happen is that the public should just tune into their sermons on iTunes.
Yes.
And find them very
compelling.
Compelling. Yep. And they don't. And that's not going to happen, most likely. And these folk, what we're learning from people like Jordan Peterson is there are a lot of ideas, and Christianity has a wealth of them.
Yes.
That, are very interesting if you would engage with them in a way that if you were answering the questions people had.
Right. Well, so let me make another argument for why Jordan Peterson is popular and maybe hit more closer home to you and I as pastors.
Do it.
Is that I think that preaching is complete, like preaching, not teaching, is completely gone as an art form and as a thing we do in church.
Okay.
I think what we have done, which includes you and me and
listen to me.
And I do this. So I'm not saying, hey, I'm like, oh, I got it all. So we've become teachers and we teach and we teach and we teach. And people don't remember a darn thing we say because we've given them way too much information and we've given them no preaching to hang it on. So when I think about preaching, I think that's what Jordan Peterson does. Yes, there's teaching in preaching, but he is exhorting people to solid foundations. And he's trying to inspire them to take those foundations and move forward. I think on Sundays it should be 2/3 preaching, 1/3 teaching.
I agree with
and
that.
And I think it's and become 2/3, 1/3.
Yeah, I you're right.
And I've been very
explaining a lot, like calling little call to action.
Yeah, right? And really bringing I think Jordan Peterson is painting a picture of something that could be.
Right.
We don't paint a lot of picture of what could be. We tell people either we get so bogged down in the exegesis, the breaking down of the text. Or we get caught up in trying to explain a way to live and some principles to live by and not really painting this inspiring picture of the journey and adventure that we're on. And like that actually taking up your cross for the God of the universe is this intense, exciting, horribly suffering adventure that's got this huge reward because the hope's not just in the future. The hope is right now.
Yeah.
Yes, we're waiting for completion, but the hope is right now. And that's, we don't work hard to inspire people on something that is amazing. We teach them the principles, but not always something to hang on. And I think Jordan's like, I'm going to give you something inspiring to hang the simple principle of you shouldn't let your children, you know, do anything that irritate you, that makes you irritated.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think if that were to, I mean, I've been saying that forever. Many people say that. But why is it so inspiring when Jordan says it? Because he's hung it on something very inspiring, something better that you could be.
Right. Yeah.
And I think we're afraid sometimes to say you could be something better because we feel like we're caught up. We don't want to get into the, you know, self-help or, you know, the wealth-oriented speaking. But right. This is a huge adventure.
Well, I think the Christian thing that you don't necessarily hear in Peterson, this is if I had to break out like one of the main differences. So he's got the responsibility side. I think it's like two sides of a coin. And I think that there's – and I think we're in the church weak on one side and he's weak on one side. And if we could, you know, be strong on the other side, that'd be helpful. And so the strong side for him is like the responsibility. You can do this. You're made in the image of God. You get to work. You can make things happen. You can get it done. You could be something better than you are. You don't have to stay. Things don't have to stay the same. And there is a side of, I mean, Jesus teaches in strong ways and has high ethical demands and stuff like that. But then I think the flip side is, and I don't hear from Peterson, I wouldn't expect to hear from Peterson, how grace enables that.
There's a little bit of it, in his, I would argue.
Okay. Yeah. But from what I've gathered so far, and I'm admitting I don't have I haven't read him, honestly. So, the way that grace enables you to, when you weren't responsible, you know, to move through that and to face the fact that you won't be responsible again without just saying, oh, well, it just happens, but there's real, you know, grace that's a gift from God. I think that factor, that piece of the Christian message is key to Christianity. And I mean, it is.
Sure.
And so I'm just saying, like, when we're trying to parse out Jordan Peterson and Christianity.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's a key factor that we would have to share if we were going to be as strong as we are on, or as strong as we should be on calling people to action.
Yeah. And I think that, like, we have to do some better work on the word grace and the way we talk about grace.
Sure.
I think that's because, you know, like, in some ways, grace is that Jesus had no problem ruining his reputation and is happy to ruin his reputation with you all the time. Right? Like, we're always worried about connecting with Jesus as, you know, that might ruin our reputation because it has this whole connotation. Yeah. But the reality is grace is like, Jesus, like, I don't have any problem ruining my reputation.
And we've absolutely ruined his reputation.
Yeah, we have messed it up bad. And that's grace. That's the thing that's like, okay. But that is inspiring if you can couch, you can begin to build a bigger story. I think that's the thing that Jordan does, is he builds a bigger story and he also fights another narrative.
Yeah.
And what he calls the Marxist postmodern, you know, intellectuals that he doesn't care, you know, strawman them. He really just goes and dialogues with their, you know, presented ideas.
Sure.
And tries to play them out and talk about their influence and what they, you know. And so I think that's also, we don't always dialogue with the ideas. We strawman people and knock them down and then say, go Jesus. And I think that's probably one of the things where people are excited about Jordan.
Like what we do to Mark Driscoll.
Yes.
And on that, let's conclude.
All right.
You've been listening to Faith Over Breakfast with Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. Please share us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you.